the 2018 PSCU Member Forum in St. Louis, Missouri. And who did I come across? The man with two first names, Mr. Brian Scott. How are you?
Actually, three.
Three?
Three first names, yeah. Incredibly well, though. I'm awesome.
You are better than most in that regard, sir. Well done.
It's early.
It's early
for anything to have gone wrong today. So
exactly. It's hard to mess up this early in the morning, you know?
It is.
But we're trying.
We will try really hard. All right.
Hey, before we get into talking about mobile, how's the conference going for you?
Oh, it's awesome. So record attendance.
Yeah.
Not just from our existing clients, but from prospective clients. Mm-hmm. Across the board, it's just been a great day. We've had incredible speakers yesterday, some great speakers this morning already. So it's really been fun.
It's been a banner conference.
We've got some fun activities planned for tonight.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Wow. All right. Sitting on pins and needles now. All right. Now I can't stop thinking about it. Thanks, Brian.
Interview about that. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Hey, let's talk about mobile. So there's a lot of talk about mobile here, obviously. And so why is PSCU so focused on mobile right now?
So it's a good question. Okay. And a lot of it ties back to service and experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's no secret that everybody is mobile first these days, right?
Yeah.
And if we're going to provide great service, it has to start with technology. And we're going to utilize that technology to provide the exceptional service which we think we've been known for. Mm-hmm. And if we can be focused on that mobile arena, so Lumen Digital, which we rolled out yesterday, a full digital banking platform that's future focus, using the newest technologies. It's incredibly fast. You can personalize it. So that goes to creating the best experiences. And it's fast. It's what people expect. So you don't, no longer will you log in and have the little spinny thing.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Super fast. You can move things around to personalize it for yourself. And so we think that experience, if we can help deliver that to a credit union and to a credit union member, mm-hmm. it makes the credit union's job so much easier. And so if we can partner in building those great experiences, that's why we're focused in the mobile space. We're also rolling out our own mobile applications that tie together credit and debit into a single application and allow the credit union to actually control and design their own apps. So on the fly, they could change card art. They could change the design of their whole application themselves.
Wow.
So it makes it really responsive to what the credit union's trying to do in their marketplaces, mm-hmm. so they can create the experiences for their members mm-hmm. that they, know is going to drive the activity that they want. So it's no longer dependent on us. Mm-hmm. We'll create the framework, and they can play and design within that framework.
You are like totally empowering a credit union.
That's
here.
That's exactly right.
And
yeah.
With the member, with enhancing the member experience, member
satisfaction.
We should hire
you into our sales team. Yeah, you said it better than I could.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be right
that's
over.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Wow. Very cool. So, I mean, we already talked about how PSU helps when it comes to the member experience. So, I mean, because, it ultimately trickles down.
Yeah, it all trickles down. And that member experience is so incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And if we can just play a small role in helping the credit union customize and tailor and deliver that member experience that they want, that's what we want to do. And, the largest Bank of America, Chase, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for a credit union, regardless of size, to spend that amount of money. Yeah. So that's where our role as a CUSO comes into play. We're going to help build those experiences so a credit union can have that experience mm-hmm. without spending $100 million like Bank of America.
Right.
So that's why you see us doing things like Lumen Digital, like building our own applications that do that. So
the cool thing about credit unions in this respect is, though, that they can move on a dime. They don't have to move on $100 million. They can move on a dime and
they can
do things really quickly
to what's happening in the marketplace on their own in their marketplace. Mm-hmm. So I was talking with one of our clients yesterday. He happens to be on our board, and in his community, as things change, he wants to be responsive to that. Mm-hmm. And now he can be with our application.
So cool. So in a recent interview on what's happening internationally, how does that transition into the U.S.? So what's going on here internationally?
So that's a whole different topic, but it's so interesting to look. The U.S. is so far behind in things like mobile payments. Mm-hmm. We think, things are changing so quickly and so rapidly. Mm-hmm. All these other countries are way ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So take China, for example. Mm-hmm. Alibaba, Alipay, it dwarfs what Amazon's doing. So Alibaba is way bigger than Amazon. We think, Amazon, they could come in and, come into financial services, come into banking.
Sure.
Alibaba is bigger than that. And Alibaba has Alipay, which is like an Apple Pay, which is way larger. I mean, they're pushing more transaction activity through that than we've even come close to scratching the surface. So you take that, and if they came into the U.S., they could dominate. Let's say the example I used, I think, was Alipay partnering with somebody like Kroger, the number two grocery store in the U.S. Yeah. They do that, they've automatically turned every Kroger store into an Amazon Go.
Yeah, you're right.
And so you think about disruption and changes like that that are coming from outside the U.S. You know, I've used the example a lot about Kenya, too. Kenya bypassed all of the traditional payment technologies and went direct to mobile. And it's become the dominant banking force, not just payments force, but dominant banking force in Kenya. And a lot of other countries, Denmark, Sweden, they've outlawed checks. So they've leapfrogged, again, the U.S. that still has roughly 40% paper, whether it be cash or checks, they have zero. And so you think about going to those countries where everything is mobile, there's already fully developed mobile payment technologies, all of the merchants have adopted it, and any one of those comes here could be totally dominant and bypass everything we're doing. So it's always interesting to look at those. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not, because somebody here is going to prevent that from happening, a Visa, MasterCard. But it's always interesting to see what's happening there, because that's going to be the model that happens here.
Right. Kind of the EMV type thing as well.
For sure. Yeah. So another one that's Tencent, that's also in China, is big. We think about Venmo here, and a couple people talked, Chuck talked about it on stage yesterday, how his golfing buddies pay each other with Venmo. You know, and we think, oh, that's cute. You know, it's kind of a fun story. It's huge there. It's not just a cute, fun thing to do. That's one of the predominant ways that people are paying. So as we look at what if that came here, or a technology like that, if we develop that here. So it's really interesting, and if you want to learn more about that space, it's really, I think, critical for us as a payments provider, right, as financial institutions, to look outside of the U.S. and say what's happening in other places, because that's what will end up happening here.
Yeah, you got to jump out of your silo once in a while to check out. But we also have like Square Cash, and I know Apple Pay now has something where you can pay
text
via text, all that type of stuff. So it's here, but it's just not prevalent.
It's here, and that's the thing. It's like just little slices.
Right, right.
And when you look at what's happening in other countries, it's massive.
Well, why are we so stubborn as Americans that we don't adopt this stuff fast enough? Because it sounds like in China and excuse me, and other countries, they're adopting this by the millions, it sounds like.
Because nothing's broken.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I mean, swiping a card is easy.
Sure.
You know, and nobody said, oh, there's so much friction there, no pun intended, between swiping your card.
A little bit.
Yeah. There's not a lot of friction. Like, it's not a bad experience to just swipe a card and be gone.
Right.
Now, with the chip cards where you have to insert it and leave it in, there's more friction. But it's not, it's just not a hard process.
Right.
So we're kind of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Plus, we've invested a lot in the infrastructure that we have. Take merchants. They have all the legacy equipment, and to upgrade that and change it to the newest payment technologies is really hard.
Maybe that's the problem, is the legacy stuff. Because you mentioned Kenya leapfrogging everybody in mobile, but they didn't have any of the legacy stuff, right?
There's that
and
book,
they kind of just leapfrogged all that technology because they didn't have the foundation stuff to begin with.
That's
what I've heard.
There's that book, The Innovator's Dilemma, by Clayton Christensen. Anyways, talks about if you have a technology, you make small innovations on top of the technology that you already have, where somebody else comes in and totally dominates. So the example I use there is Visa and MasterCard, perfectly positioned to take over online payments. Did they? No, they didn't. It was somebody else. It was PayPal.
Right.
And so now PayPal, you think about somebody who's perfectly positioned, and Dan Kuhlman's actually speaking right now from PayPal, so it's they're perfectly positioned to dominate in mobile. But they now have a platform that they're trying to innovate on top of instead of creating something totally different. So they were the new and totally different thing that took over and dominated.
Right.
And now they're just 10 short years later, they're the legacy provider that's making small innovations on top of what they already have instead of blowing it up and starting over. So that's where somebody is going to come in and totally create a new technology around payments that dominates in mobile.
The Uberization of payments, my gosh.
So here's a
something like that. Yeah.
The Uberization is a scary thing because Uber comes in and out of a marketplace so quickly based on the need of their business. So you think about everybody's worried right now or talking about the buzz around Amazon getting into banking.
Sure.
Amazon doesn't want to get into banking because they want to make a lot of money on loans. They want to make it easier for people to buy goods and services from their platform. So yeah, they could come in, but it's not because they say, oh, there's so much money to be made in making loans and processing payments and swiping cards. Mm-hmm. They just want to make it easier for people to buy on their platform, which is what Uber did around auto lending. They didn't want to make money off making auto loans. They just needed more drivers. So if I can democratize that and say, anybody who wants a car that will drive for us, we'll give you a loan just based off demand for our service, and then they'll get out of that once they've met their demand to meet their own business demand. So you look at those and it's like, who's going to come in because that's their niche, payments, versus who's going to get in and out based off supporting the rest of their business. So it's kind of fun to look at those differences between who's playing in the space and why they're coming in and out of those spaces.
Well, it's also a reality check too. I keep saying we got to get off the couch and do this stuff, you know, or else, like you said, Alibaba's going to come in here and take over,
you know,
and all this other stuff.
But they're a great example of modeling what they're doing here. And look at how financial institutions in other countries, China's not a good example because all of the banks are owned by the government. Which is a scary thing about somebody like Alibaba coming here, because now it introduces the China banking system into the U.S., which is a whole different story.
Another story.
Yeah. But it is interesting to look at how those technologies are rolled out there, and how do the financial institutions in those countries play with those technologies.
Oh, good point.
We talk about fintech disruption. Sometimes it's not about disruption, it's about partnership. How were those FIs in other countries be able to create partnerships with those fintechs to still remain relevant in what they're doing? And I think that's a great model for us to look at, too.
Indeed. Well, that's a great message to end on, because I know we could go on for another half hour.
Oh, you could, yeah.
It's super, super interesting.
It's
so
fun.
Let's save the rest of it for part two, all right, man? Thank you, Brian.
Sounds
always
good.
A pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Always an adventure.